People with disabilities, people who are quote-unquote different, bring an invaluable perspective to the workplace. They just need to be given a chance. That's the message our next guest plans to convey to hundreds of business and community leaders on Thursday. And Richard Bernstein would know. Elected in 2014, he is Michigan's first state Supreme Court justice who is blind. Justice Bernstein said if his open seat had been filled by appointment instead of statewide election, things would have been very different.
If I had to go in front of a merit selection committee, there is no chance that I would be serving on the court today. Because what would happen is they would see someone like me and they would say, oh, wow, that's so inspiring that this blind person wants to be a judge. But when the doors close, they would say, you know what? This might be too difficult. It might be too hard. It might be too challenging. Let's go with someone who looks like us or sounds like us or is us.
I recently sat down with Justice Bernstein ahead of his keynote speech to benefit JVS Human Services. It's a nonprofit providing assistance, including job placements, for more than 10,000 Metro Detroit residents. I started our conversation by asking just how much his arrival shook up the daily norms of a state institution like the Michigan Supreme Court.
But what was great was, is that, look, the court has functioned pretty much the same way for over 200 years. Now, all of a sudden, you have a blind person coming onto the court. And it did require a lot of change and transformation for the court to have to go through. One quick example would be, every Wednesday, we have conference. At conference, there are 26 cases, for the most part, that you're going to decide whether or not you're going to grant leave to. Now, people say, well, how do you do that if you're blind? Mm-hmm. You know, do you put it into Braille? Well, you can't put it into Braille because Braille is ineffective. If I give you one textbook page, you're going to give me 65 Braille pages. So that's just not going to work.
No.
You can't use a computer because if you're listening to your headset, you can't hear the conversation, which renders you irrelevant. So that doesn't work. So how do I do it?
Yeah, how do you do it?
Every Wednesday, I memorize all the cases that are on the docket. I learn the cases backwards and forwards. Now, there's no way I'm going to memorize like a month-long murder trial. That's not possible. But I will know all the key legal issues that are part of that case. Now, keep in mind, we're a common law system. So not only do you have to know the case that you're voting on, but you have to know all the other relevant corresponding cases. Because if you feel that someone deserves a new trial, you can't just say, oh, that's unfair. You have to cite cases and you have to be able to discuss those cases. Then you have to know all the cases that work against you so that you can discuss why those cases should be distinguished from the case at hand. But what I tell my clerks is, look, people's lives are at stake. We asked for this position. Yes, we have to work 12 hours a day. Yes, we have to internalize. Yes, we have to memorize. Yes, we're not going to sleep very much. But at the end of the day, we asked for this opportunity. The people gave us this opportunity. We have no choice but to do this well.
Give me a sense of what it takes for you to memorize those 26 cases every week. Does someone read them to you? What happens?
So what the court will do as a modification is that I get one additional clerk, which makes all the difference in the world. So the other justices have four clerks. I have five clerks. And that's absolutely essential. And the reason is because it just takes us so much more time to process and understand the information. The typical ratio that you would use is that if it takes you 1 hour to prepare for something, it will take me 5 hours to do the same thing. So you just have to have more manpower to be able to do that. And this is one of those situations where as great as technology is, it isn't going to work in this situation because you need a clerk who knows you, knows what you're looking for, who's going to pinpoint a lot of the key issues of the case and be able to bring that to your attention. And you also have to have clerks that are passionate, that are enthusiastic, and realize that working for a blind justice is going to be more challenging than working for someone who is sighted. Mm-hmm. But I think the benefit of that is on a multi-court situation is that you bring a different perspective. You bring a different understanding to cases. And I think that's really what it's all about, is being able to look at things in a different way. If you had seven people who are all the same, things get missed. If you have people that are different, then I think you're able to serve people better.
You're headlining the 22nd annual JVS Human Services Strictly Business event that's happening this Thursday. What's your message going to be?
My message is that giving people with disabilities, giving older people, giving people who've been out of the workforce, giving people that have faced challenge and hardship in their lives an opportunity to work, an opportunity to be trained, can make all the difference in the world. And this is the key thing. Anyone who is different will approach the workplace with a passion, with an energy that is like no other. And the key is for employers to realize that people who are different know what they're capable of, but it's people who are more traditional that have to give us the opportunity and have to give us the chance.
It strikes me that you're very aware of the precedent you're setting for other institutions, other workplaces, schools, to try to demonstrate through what you are doing on the court and what the court, how the court accommodated itself to your needs.
Exactly.
You can do it.
Exactly. But there's a little bit more to that. And I do think it's important to mention. According to the U.S. Census, 85% of blind people are currently unemployed. That is not because people who are blind are not passionate, are not hardworking. It is solely socioeconomic. I have been blessed. I come from an amazing family with incredible support. I also come from an ability to have tremendous financial resources. I had the best of everything. Mm-hmm. If I hadn't come from the background that I come from, there is no question that I would be part of the 85% who are currently unemployed. There is no question.
How can Michigan and we Michiganders do right. better for the Michiganders living with a disability?
Well,
what's missing?
I think what is really critical is job placement is probably one of the most important things. I mean, look, we can have a discussion about transit, education. Mm-hmm. There's a large number of looming issues that we could have, you know, a focus on. But what it really comes down to is job placement. Because once you have a job, everything else kind of falls into place. The thing is, and I'm just going to be totally direct and candid. When I went to Northwestern, I graduated from Northwestern Law School in 1999. In 98 is when you go to interview for your, you know, law firm positions or law firm opportunities. Now, I always knew I was going to do public service. I always knew I was going to come back to work in my family firm. I always knew I was going to do pro bono. But I wanted to see if I could get a job on my own. I wanted to see what would happen when I went through the interview process as a blind person. Northwestern had a 100% job placement rate in 1999 and in 1998. The economy was booming. Law firms couldn't find enough lawyers.
They Great were begging, school. Yeah.
They were begging for lawyers to come to work for them. I went on 65 job interviews when I was at Northwestern. The rule was if a law firm came on campus, anyone that wanted to interview with that law firm would be given the opportunity to interview that law firm. So I went on 65 interviews with 65 different firms. Of the firms that I interviewed with, not jobs, how many callbacks do you think I would have gotten?
I would have expected a lot.
How about zero? Not a single one. And the reason was because what would happen is, and when you talk about it with mm-hmm. career services, is that what employers would do is they would say, you know what, this is a really inspirational story, and this is great, and this is really exciting. But, you know, we've got a lot of people, and why don't we just move on to the next person? Mm-hmm. Because why do we have to go through and make all this effort and do all this work if we can just go on to the next person? What we're trying to do at JVS Human Services is the idea that don't go on to the next person, because there's an actual benefit to hiring somebody that you otherwise wouldn't hire. There's a benefit to hiring somebody that you think is a disadvantage. They have an advantage. It's not a charity. This isn't about like, wow, I want to give this disabled person a job, or I want to give this senior a job, or I want to give this unusual person a job. You're not doing a charity. What you're doing is you're doing something where you're creating a better environment because you're creating a different perspective, and you're getting some of the finest people that you could ever possibly get. I'll just tell you this, right? When I would do these interviews, when I would do these things, I guarantee people have a certain perspective when they look at me, kind of how I appear to them, you know, the blind guy, right? Walking into the wall, doing the usual stuff. Most people are shocked when they hear this, because they just assume that, you know, if you're blind or if you're different, mm-hmm. you know, you don't do athletic competitions. That's not something disabled people do, right? Do you know I've done 22 marathons? 22 marathons. Do you know I've done a full Ironman competition? So what you come to find is when you work with folks who are a little out of the mainstream, or who look weak, or who look vulnerable, what you will find is that those are the people who have the strongest and most powerful spirits.
Justice Richard Bernstein, Michigan Supreme Court, you are you're showing everyone how it's done. And it has been a pleasure to talk with you, and please come back.
Thank you. I hope you'll have me back because we have so much more to talk about. I get really excited. So thank you for this opportunity.